This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks. And get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Well, good evening. Welcome. And of course, happy Mother's Day. Thank you for spending your Mother's Day evening with us here at the best place to tune in to piss off liberals. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show, your home for the liberal resistance, the place where you can go to promote the individual liberty, free enterprise, traditional values, and limited government. You know, those core principles that just absolutely drive liberals crazy. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on social media, Facebook, True Social, at the John Whitmer Show, and of course on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a great show for you tonight, by the way. But first, a couple quick programming notes. Remind you, next Sunday, we will be broadcasting live, taking the show on the road downtown to the to Union Station, the headquarters for Americans for Prosperity. We'll be right downtown at Union at Union Station for a live broadcast. We'll have more information on the John Whitmer Show. We'll put that out tomorrow. You can check out all the details, but make sure you come join us. Come sit in, watch, throw food at me, whatever, you know. we'll have some fun, but check out social media. Look out for that. We'll be broadcasting live from American for Prosperity, from their offices downtown at Union Station. And, of course, next Sunday, former Republican Senator Phil Graham will be with us on the show, so tune in for that. Tonight, we've got a great lineup. Sam Sorbo, many of you will know her. Obviously, she's wife of actor Kevin Sorbo. We've had him on the show. He obviously was Hercules, but she is an actress and author of Parents Guide to Homeschool, Making Education Easy and Fun, and will explain why she is leading a powerful national conversation about how we define and approach education as a society. She's an advocate for homeschooling. I'm really looking forward to having her on the show. She'll kick off the 8 o'clock hour. She's also coming to Sedgwick County Republican Party via Zoom this Thursday evening. She'll be the featured speaker at the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting. The Kansas State Troopers Association is condemning the parole of a man who killed a state trooper nearly 50 years ago. We'll talk with Sage Hill, the president of the Kansas State Troopers Association, about the parole board's decision and what comes next. Sedgwick County Commissioner Jeff Blubaugh, my county commissioner, will tell us how citizens can access the county's budget simulator online. I did it. By the way, I was able to cut the mill levy by cutting spending. It was great. It's easy to do. You should try it. We'll give you that website. We'll talk to Commissioner Blubaugh and Scott Powell, senior fellow at the Center on Wealth and Poverty. We'll explain why he says judges should stay in their lane, upholding the law rather than legislating and interfering. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls all throughout the show at 316-869-1330. Thank you again for joining us. And, again, happy Mother's Day to all the incredible moms out there. Today is, by the way, again, happy Mother's Day to my wife. And happy belated birthday. It's her birthday yesterday, so we got a twofer. We got happy Mother's Day and happy birthday to my wife. And today we pause to honor the women, and I do say women because men can't get pregnant and men can't be moms. Let's get that junk out of the way. But we honor the women who gave us life, who nurtured us, disciplined us, prayed for us, and shaped us into the people we are, from the sleepless nights to the hard-earned wisdom, from scraped knees to broken hearts. Moms have always been there on the front lines of the home, of the heart, and of the nation. It's our moms. And there's something sacred about motherhood, something timeless, something that transcends politics, or at least it used to. But here we are in 2025. Things are getting a little better. Thank God we have a president that actually recognizes there are only two genders and, you know, men can't get pregnant. But it's sad that I have to say this. I never imagined that I'd live to see the day where I'd have to defend the very idea of a mother, where a Supreme Court justice would go to confirmation hearings and say that she can't define a woman because she's not a biologist. Where I'd have to explain that women are women, that mothers are female, and that giving birth is not a gender-neutral experience. It's uniquely and beautifully the gift and the role of women. Yet the left, in their endless quest to deconstruct everything traditional, has decided that even motherhood is fair game. You've seen it. We've all seen it. Terms like birthing person replacing mother in hospitals and government documents. Schools asking kids to celebrate parents rather than moms because it might not be quote unquote inclusive. Politicians, mostly from the left, telling us that men can get pregnant and that motherhood isn't tied to sex and that being a woman is just a feeling. Heck, last Saturday when I was interviewing the protesters in downtown Wichita, we talked to the one gal who said that her gender was determined because somebody put a check next to the F on her birth certificate. Well, F her and her birth certificate. Folks, that's not progress. That's lunacy. And worse, it's deeply insulting to the women who've sacrificed so much to be mothers. When you strip away the word mother, you strip away a pillar of civilization. When you pretend that men can do what women do, conceive, carry, and give birth to a child, you're not elevating men, you're erasing women. You're reducing the miracle of motherhood to a biological function that anyone can supposedly opt into with the right pronouns in a prescription pad. And let's be clear, this isn't about kindness. It's not about inclusion. It's not about compassion. It's about control. It's about redefining the family, eroding faith, and dismantling the bedrock values that have held this country together for over 240 years. Traditional marriage, a mother and a father, raising children in a stable, loving home is not outdated. It's not oppressive. It's a model that works. Is it perfect? No, nothing is. But for generations, it's been the gold standard. And mothers, women who carry life and pour their hearts into their children, have always been at the center of that model. Now, let me say this loud and clear. We love and respect people of all backgrounds and identities, including those who choose, and yes, I said choose, to identify as whatever, a kumquat as far as I'm concerned. I don't care. That's your choice. But respect goes both ways. And when you start telling moms they can't even call themselves mothers or that they need to share Mother's Day with some moron who says he's a pregnant man, you've crossed a line of truth, of science, and frankly, of common sense. Motherhood is not interchangeable. It's not subjective. It's not something you can identify into. It's something that is lived day in and day out with love, strength, and sacrifice. Ronald Reagan, one of our greatest presidents and a man who understood the deep value of faith and family, once said, "For my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams, and believe I could make them come true." That's the legacy of a mother. It's not about biology alone. It's about the formation of the soul, the moral compass, the nurturing of values, the backbone of freedom. So to all the moms listening out there, thank you. Thank you for holding the line. Thank you for loving when it's hard. Thank you for raising the next generation. And when the culture tries to make your role look small, stand strong. And to the folks pushing this radical gender ideology, we see you. We're not buying it. We won't let you erase women, redefine reality, or silence truth in the name of tolerance. So this Mother's Day, we're doubling down. We're honoring motherhood. We're honoring traditional family. And we're standing up unapologetically for the truth. Because if we lose mothers, we lose everything. So God bless moms all across America. We'll take a quick break, and then Sage Hill, the president of the Kansas State Troopers Association, will tell us about the parole board's decision to parole a man who killed a state trooper nearly 50 years ago and how that's upsetting so many people. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Nicely done, Phil. Nicely done. Very appropriate intro music for this guest. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. So again, you know, I've told you about AFP before. If you want to get to know them more, come join us next Sunday. We'll be broadcasting live from their offices right here in Wichita, downtown at Union Station. We'll have more details, more information available for you on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. We'll post that for you tomorrow. But come join us next Sunday. We'll be broadcasting live. And of course, while you're online, check them out at AmericansForProsperity.org. And you can get more information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So during the early morning hours of May 24th, 1978, three people inside a vehicle that then 26-year-old Conroy O'Brien had stopped on the Kansas Turnpike. He was a trooper. He stopped them on the turnpike near Macfield Green, forced Conroy away from his patrol unit. These three thugs forced him out of his patrol unit and into the ditch. The subjects, unknown to Conroy at the time, were wanted for a string of armed robberies across multiple states. So these guys, I mean, just scum. Let's just call them what they were. They were led by Jimmy Nelms. Nelms disarmed Conroy, fractured his skull as he begged for his life. A short time later, Jimmy Nelms then killed Conroy by shooting him twice in the side of his head with his own service weapon. They left him in the ditch. Nelms and the other two occupants then fled with the intent of killing someone else and stealing their car. Later that same morning, they were in custody after unsuccessfully attempting to kill yet another Kansas State Trooper, Charlie Smith, who had located and chased them down and engaged them in a gun battle. So needless to say, these guys are scum. At the time of his death, O'Brien worked as a state trooper on the turnpike and was known for being kind-hearted. He became a cop for all the right reasons. In addition, his wife was pregnant with a girl. A jury convicted Jimmy Nelms of premeditated felony murder, aggravated kidnapping, and unlawful possession of a firearms. Nelms received two life sentences in prison for the murder, with an additional sentence for the kidnapping and unlawful possession of a firearm. Now let's take you to this year. In March, the Kansas Prisoner Review Board, the parole board, for one unknown reason, decided to grant parole to Nelms through his release date, although the release date has not yet been announced. In a statement, Sage Hill, the president of the Kansas State Troopers Association, condemned the State Prisoner Review Board's decision to parole Nelms and release him from prison, calling the decision, quote, a betrayal. And he joins us now. Trooper Hill, first off, thank you for your service to our state. Did I get the facts right in that intro?
You did. You did, and thank you for having us, sir. Well, we appreciate the coverage and you using your voice for this.
Well, and I know that you're dealing with some stuff with your mom, so happy Mother's Day to your mom as well. I appreciate you taking the time to join us this evening. If I got to tell you, brother, if anyone ever stops and wonders why more good men and women no longer choose a career in law enforcement, this has to be. I don't understand. Can you try and explain? Have we heard from the parole board? Do we know what their justification, what their explanation, or do they even have to tell us why they came to this conclusion?
No, the deafening silence, absolute deafening silence. We haven't heard anything. We've heard from many, many others to include, you know, and this is, I want to be very clear. This is no longer a political issue. Governor Kelly came out against this. This is, the Senate President Ty Masterson, A.G. Kobach, House Speaker Dan Hawkins. I mean, everybody is hurting from this. And I think to your point, yeah, with your lead in, you're absolutely on the right track that, you know, something that a lot of the haters say online and otherwise are that, you know, that's a dangerous job. You guys know what you're doing whenever you sign up for it. And they're not completely wrong, right? We do know it's a dangerous job and we do it and we love doing it because people like this, and you're, again, totally right, they are scum. We want to be the ones that, you know, that barrier between society and the public. We enjoy that work. We want to do it. And we're okay with assuming that risk. And our families are even okay with us assuming that risk because of a sort of social contract that we have where, you know, two big things are going to happen right off. One, the community is going to support us. They're going to back us up when something does go sideways. And two, we're going to have an effective and efficient system to appropriately handle situations like this, to completely disincentivize hurting a cop and to keep us as safe as we possibly can be. We know that's going to happen once in a while. Bad things will happen, but there need to be dire consequences, and everybody agrees with that. And so out of those two items in this case, the first one, the community, you look at the comments section of any of these, you know, social media posts from us or any of our supporters, the community is answering the call. They are behind us. The state of Kansas is outraged right now. It's the system that is broken and has failed us.
Yeah. I mean, again, this guy shot him twice in the side of the head and left him in a ditch. And yet the parole review board, Mark Keating, Jeannie Ward and CJ Perez have yet to even explain, and we'll get into it in a minute. I want to ask you, you know, what we can do about it. But the parole board recommended releasing this guy. Is that just a recommendation? Is that a recommendation until the Secretary of Corrections or the governor signs off on it? Or can someone reverse this decision? Or is that it? It's done.
I honestly don't know, sir. And I've talked to people at the, you know, some pretty high levels of state government and law enforcement, and they don't know either. Thankfully, we've never had to deal with this. Nobody has made a decision this awful before that anybody can remember. And the Prisoner Review Board, under its current title, the state of Kansas changed it in 2011. It used to be a larger board with more members on it. There was a different process for appointing those individuals and something along those lines. Yeah, like I said, we can get into it. That makes way more sense. These are all, you know, I don't want to get into too much supposition or psychoanalyzing these folks. I have no idea why they did what they did, and I don't care. I know how bad they screwed up on this one, and that's all that matters. These are DOC insiders, they're career bureaucrats, they all have a corrections background. These are not appropriate representatives of the citizenry, right? You didn't vote them in. I didn't. Nobody had any say about it. They were just thrown in there, and now, yeah, they decided it's okay for somebody like Jimmy Nelms to have the same freedoms that you and I do and be out with our kids and the elderly and everything else.
Well, and they were, from what I understand, they were appointed by the Secretary of Corrections. So literally a bureaucrat appointed these three bureaucrats. There's literally no democratic representative process involved here whatsoever, which means there's no accountability to the public. It's literally just a bunch of bureaucrats self-appointing each other. We're talking with Sage Hill, the president of the Kansas State Troopers Association. I think one of the things that is so frustrating for many who read this story is it feels like the family of the victims are being victimized all over again, and they have no recourse here. I mean, what would, if we had to change, I mean, what would be the changes to the parole board here? Because it seems like there is no accountability. And I think that's where, if we can't undo this, which we don't know if there is a way to undo it, if the governor is asking how this happened, then obviously she either doesn't know or is pretending she doesn't know. How would we change this parole board if we could going forward?
Well, first, if I can address the first thing that you said, Matt, you know, it feels like, or it seems like that the families are being victimized all over again. I'm here to tell you, can confirm. I visited with his wife, his widow, yesterday morning, and Colonel Smith, whenever he first told us about this in an agency-wide email that the decision had been made, he described it as a gut punch. And that physiological pain response is not hyperbolic. Like, I think many of us actually felt that. And then yesterday morning, it was all over again talking to her. It's absolutely gut-wrenching. As far as how we fix it, I don't want the momentum to stop. It can't stop. You know, Kansas is the Wild West. It's a great place to live, but there are some serious criminals here that have to remain appropriately incarcerated, and this will be precedent setting. So if you don't want somebody in public like Jimmy Nelms, the sort of guy that can do everything that you described in the intro, we have to take action. And that is, I think, just an outpouring to legislators, politicians at all level. And I'll tell you, we have wonderful relationships across the entire state because of the incredible work that our members do in 105 counties across 83,000 square miles. People think that we're their troopers, and we are. We belong to them, to the communities that we protect. And we do enough good, and we do that with such courage and professionalism, the membership of this association across the state, that when we talk, people listen. We've got a lot of capital and bandwidth with this association now, and I will use every ounce of that to support this community outrage and undo this decision by whatever means necessary. The next thing will be, once we get past that step, we have to reform this board.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm confident that we'll get it done. I'm not married to any specific framework at this point. You know, for example, something that would make a lot of sense to me is, you know, maybe two appointees from the governor, two appointees from the attorney general, and then maybe one more that's Senate confirmed from DOC or somebody else wants could chair it or whatever. There just has to be some checks and balances in place. We have to do better than this.
Well, I served in the legislature, the last 2 years I was the vice chair of Corrections and Juvenile Justice. I guarantee you that there will be legislators that will be looking when they get back up there in January to work on legislation along these lines. And if you haven't, you know, I know that Representative Leo Delperdang, he's the one who helped me facilitate this interview. And thank you, Leo. You know, I guarantee absolutely you there will be trooper legislators that will work. I mean, heck, his son is a trooper. You guys will have allies in the legislature, and I think this will get fixed as quickly as it can, because it does need to be fixed. There needs to be an accountability for this type of screw up. That's assuming we can't get it reversed. The hope is that it will be reversed. If folks want to reach out to you, if they want to support you, if they want to support the Troopers Association, they can get information at kstroopers.com, correct?
That's correct. That's our website. We're also on Facebook. We use that a lot. And then my personal email, if somebody wants to send me something, is the president of the association. It's firstname.lastname, so sage.hill@kstroopers.com.
Sage, I'm going to write that down. Next time I get a speeding ticket on the turnpike, I'm going to call you, and you can laugh at me and tell me to hurry up and pay it. So
I'm a different kind of trooper.
I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you. Take care of your mom, all right?
Okay, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, my friend. Keep up the good work. Coming up, Sedgwick County Commissioner Jeff Blubaugh will tell us how citizens can access the county's budget simulator online to try their hand at balancing the county's budget. They certainly can't do any worse job than the county staff are doing. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with Family Carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And, of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Speaking of going online, citizens can now access the simulator online, the budget simulator for the Sedgwick County government. The city of Wichita has one, too. You can try your hand at balancing the county's budget, getting a look at the financial impact of increasing or decreasing funding to services like public safety, health programs, and infrastructure. As users make trade-offs, they can gain some insight into the challenges of governing with limited resources. With us now is Sedgwick County Commissioner Jeff Blubaugh. Jeff, thank you for joining us. Happy Mother's Day to your wife. I know you guys have great kids. By the way, I'm a little disappointed. I know you brought your brother, your Oregonian redneck brother, with us. So I appreciate it. It's kind of fun. My wife is going to, by the way, we're going to have to put him on the air here in a minute, but my wife is from Oregon originally, so she will appreciate an Oregon redneck being in the studio with us. But you should have brought your kids, because I love having your daughter in here. She's great.
Well, thank you, John. Actually, my wife is with her mother, which only lives a couple miles from our house, so everybody's right in there. And you know, I know you only live a couple miles from there as well. So I had to bring my brothers rather than my wife and let her spend time with her mom, and the kids are all over there with her this evening.
I tried the simulator. By the way, if you want to try it, it's SedgwickCounty.org. And that's /budget simulator. And you can go on there and it goes the different, you know, public safety, infrastructure, light, I mean, all the different subjects. And then you can either, I guess it's staff recommendations of how much to increase, keep the funding the same, or cut by that same amount. So what I did is, big surprise, I cut everything. I cut, not only did I not give them an increase, I didn't keep them stable, I cut every single budget. Lo and behold, I not only was able to save money, but I was able to lower the mill levy. So it can be done. It's just if the politicians have the will and the, you know, the actual cojones to do it.
We had the budget simulator when I was on the Wichita City Council. This is the first time the county rolled it out, and I'm excited to see us rolling it out. Some of the feedback that I've been getting is, you know, a lot of people, they just want it. They don't want to go through the simulator. They just want a splat. And I brought this up in the commission meeting. Well, the reality is right now there'll be an opportunity for that.
Right.
But at this stage, we really want folks to step up and put yourself in our shoes and walk through there and try to balance the budget yourself.
Yeah, it's not easy. And you can, if you try and play with it, I mean, if you really are trying to do, the only real way to actually cut taxes is to do what I did. You have to cut everything to actually lower the mill levy.
So I do want to say the budget process is probably the most important thing we do as county
commissioners. Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
And the commission is not just accepting a manager or a staff budget. Bureaucracy does not run this government. The people run this government. And that's why we're reaching out to them first. So our budget is going to ensure resource availability, help set and report on internal goals, prioritize what's important to the people, and provide a plan with pivot contingencies to provide services.
Yeah, it doesn't go into a lot of details because then you just get lost in the weeds. But it gives you an idea. It allows you to see what priorities are. And, you know, because like one of the things that I would have done, obviously, is done more cuts to things like the zoo or exploration play. I mean, that's where I would have gone. I wouldn't be doing elephant barns and things like that. But
I assume that's because you do not believe property tax dollars should be utilized to pay for quality of life projects.
No, that should be user fees or sales tax or something.
Don't know
like
how
that.
I knew that about you, John.
Amazing how that works. But at the same time, because if you're not going there, and you've got, I know people who are being taxed out of their homes, and if that's happening, then let the users and people who are coming from outside the county help pay for that instead of property owners.
Sure. And as I said during my campaign, and I still walk the walk, that quality of life to a lot of folks in Sedgwick County is making sure you have food on the table, making sure your utilities are paid, making sure you have a car and reliable transportation to get you to point A to point B. That's the quality of life that's most important to the constituents that I speak with.
Yeah, we're still dealing with the after effects of Joe Biden's economy. And right now in the Joe Biden economy, you can't really afford a quality of life right now. You're still dealing with high prices, inflation, all the other stuff. The president's doing what he can, but right now I'm not really worried. I mean, don't get me wrong. The pictures of the little baby elephants are adorable, but I still wonder if we needed to spend $10 million of property tax money on a barn. You know what I mean? I mean, let's prioritize, folks. And right now, lowering property tax, especially when we know the priority proposals being at the city and the county at raising taxes again.
So I will say some of my takeaways. I've been in here 5 months now. The county really is ran a lot more conservative than what I've seen at the city.
I think, without a doubt.
And you look at that,
doubt.
You look at that property tax bill, we're really only taking 20 to 25% with that 175 other taxing entities on there. So, I am happy to see how conservative the government really is ran, but to your point and a lot of folks other, what do they want their property tax dollars spent on?
Yeah, and I think you are right. And I've had that conversation. A lot of other people, and to an extent, it's the same thing with the city. The city is not as efficient with the money as the county is. But if we really want to talk about property taxes, there is one elephant in the room that nobody is politicians are afraid to talk about, and it's the schools. Because if you do that, then you're immediately, oh, you hate kids, you hate teachers, that massive thing called the teachers union comes at you, and well, it's hard to get reelected when they turn their long knives on you. But the bottom line is, I mean, you and I know, we both live in the Goddard School District. They raised my property taxes 18% last year, and all I've done is mow the lawn, I haven't done that religiously enough. I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah, you know, I originally came from the school board prior to being on the Wichita City Council.
I don't know how conservative like you got elected to that Goddard School Board, but you know what I mean.
And, you know, the Goddard School Bond is a little bit different.
Oh, by the way, yeah, vote no on that thing. That's coming up Tuesday. Vote no. Vote no. Goddard School Board, vote no on that bond. That's $350 a year tax increase. Sorry, I had to interrupt there, but, okay. We got to kill that thing.
Some of the major things we are looking at on the Sedgwick County budget is 2026 budgeting items. Staffing has improved. You remember here a few years ago, and by all means, you know, probably half of our budgets go into public safety.
Which is where it should. Jeff Easter does a great job.
Yep. The sheriff, the jail, EMS, and
district attorney.
And the funding priorities kind of slid a different direction, and you got to pay those folks out there. There are first responders. They're out there keeping us safe. You've got to take care. And you know me, I'm always going to be a strong public safety guy. So I always look for, you know, make sure that we're spending our tax dollars the way that I believe that we, you know, spend our own personal dollars, but we've got to keep those staffing levels high. But you do look at costs are rising, and citizens are maxed out in terms of property tax. I just got my appeal on my house. I think I showed you where, in 4 years, my property tax on my house over in Atlanta Circle went up 77%.
Yeah.
And I get my appeal back. No change. And that's the feedback I'm getting from other people as well.
And I've been to your house. You're like mine. I don't notice. I haven't built on an extension. You know, I don't know what's happened to your home to go up by 77%.
And what happened to me, everybody in my neighborhood, probably happened to you too. My lot, it's a decent sized lot. It's a little under a half acre, but $80,000. I ran all the comparables, for everything in the Goddard School District. And I think the highest price I found was $40,000 an acre.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff, my house has gone up by $100,000 in that period.
So,
in 10 years. It's obscene.
We're really having some conversations about those values.
Good,
as well.
Good. Well, brother, I appreciate you. I'm up on a break. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to reach out, again, if they want to try the budget simulator, that's SedgwickCounty.org/budget simulator. And if they want to reach out to you, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know me, I throw my personal cell out there.
You're crazy.
316-640-0656, or you can send me an email at jeff.blueball@sedgwick.gov.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. Keep up the good work. Say hello to your lovely daughter and your wife, and happy Mother's Day to her.
Thank you, John.
We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We come back, we'll talk to the redneck from Oklahoma, from Oregon here. I got to get him on for my wife. Hey, you got good music tonight, Phil. It's really nicely done on the music. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Every week, the folks at AFP are engaging folks all across the state on issues that matter to you. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters down at Union Station. Check out the John Whitmer Show Facebook page for more information on that. And so I want to... Jeff brought his brother, Jason, in, and I had to talk to Jason because, well, first off, country. But you're from Oregon, which is almost as bad, if not worse, actually, than where I was. I'm born and raised originally in California. Okay. So I know a little bit. But Oregon, everybody thinks it's this liberal, and it is. I mean, it's a mecca. It's like Southern California. But there is a patch of Oregon that's about as redneck as and conservative as you can get. And I know this because my wife is from Klamath Falls. She's got family. I mean, she's been in Bend. And so there is this patch of red that's in the sea of blue, it must drive you crazy.
Yes, it's different. Before COVID, moving out there in 2012 from Kansas, rodeoing and living in Kansas and moving to Oregon, and the experience that my kids go through, the school systems of telling my kids who they are from birth, opposed to us, the parent. I rodeo, naturalist, you eat, you breathe, you wake up, you spend time together, you treat your horses and each other fairly. God first, other second, self third. I moved to Oregon, and they moved me. I didn't even understand what was going on.
And you told me, by the way, you raise horses, which you showed me a picture, a phenomenal picture of your horse that just won. What was it? The horse just won?
We sold it to Cassie Mowry a couple years ago. We sold a couple of horses, and she won the world last year in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And she's sitting number one in the world in the same horse.
Wow, that's amazing. But you also told me about your daughter. I guess at every year at school, they get to pick their gender.
That's right. We go out in Newburgh, Oregon is where we're from. In the school system, I did not know this. I'm at a track meet. My daughter's track meet. She's a sophomore in high school. And there are boys running against girls.
Identifying as trans.
And I looked in the OSAA school board. I'm like, how is this going on? How did I miss as a dad? Because I live in the country on 20 acres. So I'm a little bit – I don't – meddle a lot. I don't ask questions. I stay to myself.
Typical. I mean, that's most of
it. I try to stay quiet, but then it's like, well, I want to tell my kids some truths. And then when I see kids that don't even know a truth and it's boys and girls are fighting over what that means to be a boy or girl. And I read the OSAA, which is Oregon State Athletic Association. They passed a law years ago that said a male or a female is not in your body, it's in your brain. Therefore, every year you can say what part of your brain you want to be a male or female. So that is their guidelines.
Jeez. And I assume if you speak up, then you're in trouble.
That's where the redneck comes in, the patch. We are patches, all right. And you put holes in our jeans, we're going to speak up a little bit.
Jason, I appreciate it. Well, come back to Kansas, you'll be happier. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, Sam Sorbo, actress and author of Parents Guide to Homeschooling, will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the media collectively clutched its pearls when Elon Musk showed up at the Senate with his young son X perched on his shoulders. He was headed to meetings on the newly formed Department of Government Efficiency. Of course, critics pounced. The BBC quoted American University professor Kurt Braddock, who called it a political move to make him seem more personable. And, of course, this is just more chaos and distraction. For some reason, the media don't seem to like take-your-kids-to-work days. With us now to try and explain the media's obsession and opposition to what should be admirable and, frankly, perfectly normal occurrence is Sam Sorbo. She is author of The Parent's Guide to Homeschool, Making Education Easy and Fun. She is an impassioned advocate for home education. She continues acting, producing, writing, and is an in-demand analyst on radio and television. She hosts The Sam Sorbo Show daily and is a sought-after public speaker. In fact, she'll be here speaking via Zoom to the Sedgwick County Republican Party coming up later this month. She enjoys engaging her audiences in new national dialogue. Sam, thank you for joining us. Particularly, thank you for joining us here on Mother's Day. I hope you had a lovely Mother's Day.
It's been fantastic, but you know, every day is my Mother's Day.
Oh, well, and I guess we're let's be woke and let's say birthing person's day, right?
No,
I mean, it's,
no.
Are we allowed to call it Mother's Day?
Nope, I'm not taking that. Boy, the world's gone crazy.
Yes,
and we're still sending our children to school. That's how crazy we are.
Yes,
my heart breaks for the nation because we've been so indoctrinated, brainwashed, as if you will, to send our children to school. And so when I saw Elon Musk carry his little boy on his shoulders into a Senate meeting, like into a press conference, into the Oval Office, like he just brings his kid with him everywhere. I want people to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that is homeschooling. That's what it looks like. It looks like you spend time with your child and give your child the opportunity to observe you being an adult, because that's really all your children want. And that's actually what you want for them. You want them to be an adult as good or better than you.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think that we need school because why? They went to school and they were taught to think we need school.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, maybe Elon Musk just believes in, oh, I don't know, protecting one's children and not outsourcing parenting. I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton said it takes a village. How about it just takes good parenting? And I don't understand why they're so obsessed and so upset about the fact that he takes his kid around with him to work. I mean, what's wrong with that? And why is it such a bad thing?
No, and in fact, we should encourage it more and more,
yeah,
in my view, because stronger families build a stronger social fabric. And we need that. We need that in the United States today. We are sorely lacking in fathers because we've denigrated the role of the father in the family. And we should not have done that. And so we need a resurgence in fathers and fatherhood. And Elon is clearly leading the way. Now, part of the reason is that he's already lost a son to the woke mind virus, as he puts it. And so he doesn't want to risk losing another child to that. And frankly, that's child abuse. The woke mind virus and the people who are out there sort of touting it as the next great answer, they should be locked up. They should not be allowed near children. And their perversion should be put to the side, because it's very dangerous what they're doing to children. I've talked to too many young people who are detransitioning to ever take it seriously that this could actually resolve any issues. And by the way, I don't know if your audience knows this, but years ago, Johns Hopkins did the research. They performed the surgeries, but they also did the follow-up, because it's all an experiment, ladies and gentlemen. None of this has been proven, okay? And so they did the follow-up, and they asked all of their patients who did the transition if they were satisfied. And to a patient, they were all satisfied, and they had the same suicide rate pre-op or post-op. So the treatment does nothing to cure what's at stake, which is a psychological affliction.
Right, right. And it is bizarre, this obsession. We had a protest here in Wichita. They do it every Saturday, and we went down last week. We went down and we talked to these folks, and one of them had a sign with Elon Musk on it, and it said "No Nazis." And I happened to ask the guy, "What about Elon Musk made him a Nazi?" And he said, "Well, he's got 14 kids, so he believes in eugenics and white nationalism." I mean, why having 14 what? Kids? Thank you. That was exactly my response. What?
Does he think Musk is trying to repopulate the earth all by himself?
Apparently. And even that, I would say, what's wrong with that? And Musk bringing his children to work, even to meetings with world leaders, doesn't signal chaos. As far as I'm concerned, that signals commitment. It embodies, you know, home education, and I don't know, it's profoundly traditional. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Well, here's the thing. We're not going to have any effect on Elon Musk, but let's talk about how this whole image affects us. And the way that I would like to see it affect us is, rather than clutching our pearls, as I wrote that the mainstream media did, I would like parents to take a look at that and say, oh my gosh, I wonder if I could bring my kid to work with me instead of submitting him to the people who are peddling lies and fear in the schools, right? I wonder if I could spend more time with my child and maybe forge a stronger relationship with my child. And that's why I wrote my book, Parents Guide to Homeschool, because what I want parents to understand is that homeschooling is well within your reach. It is well within your grasp. It is not nearly as daunting or difficult as they want you to believe it is. They need job security, and they have it because they trained us all to believe in them, the educators, but they're wrong. And my proof for that is they can't do the job that they set out for themselves. So why are we trusting them with our children when we can educate our children? By the way, homeschoolers, a school child, basically, how do I put this? School will never beat homeschool.
Right.
Right? And homeschoolers score roughly 25% better on their tests, on the academic proficiency tests. And in the inner city, those children score up to 42% better than their peers on the academic tests. And so I want parents to understand there is no relationship with the education level of the parent. Because the parent in this scenario, the parent is not the teacher. You are not replacing the school. You are offering your child a freedom-minded outlook on education. You are the lead learner. You are the guide, the navigator for your child. And you can do that. And you can do it in as little as an hour a day. But you have to be willing to spend some time with your child. And so that's what I'm encouraging in parents is if you need to find a babysitter for the hours that you're at work and you can't train your child to simply be at work with you or you can't adjust your schedule to allow yourself to be more at home or whatever, then find a babysitter, a family member, another homeschooling family. Do something like that and then take over the overall instruction of your child. And once you teach your child to read, the world opens up to him. And all you have to do is basically be a gatekeeper so that your child doesn't read the wrong things, but does read the right things. And those things are all available. I have a list of them in my book, Parents Guide to Homeschool. You can go to sorbostudios.com and see more of my resources. It's just not as difficult as they want us to believe. And then the flip side is it's a lot more rewarding than you ever dreamed. Because you were just ready to sacrifice your child to the school. And I'm saying if you don't do that, you will reap tremendous rewards, tenfold of what you think.
We're talking with Sam Sorbo, author of Parents Guide to Homeschool, Making Education Easy and Fun. And I think there's a lot of folks that agree that homeschooling is the first step to bringing back the family. Earlier this week, you tweeted, by the way, if folks want, or X, however you want to phrase it, if folks want to find you on X, they can find you at the Sam Sorbo. But you tweeted out, I follow you on Twitter, I encourage folks to do so, but you tweeted out that we are at a cultural tipping point, and because of school, we lack the discernment to do much about it. And I think that's so true. You know, the government school system really is, in many ways, failing our kids. And, you know, Reagan famously said government isn't the solution, it's the problem. And so many people have become so dependent on government for their whatever, their work, their job, their health care, their et cetera. And in this case, they're for the education of their children. And yet education, the education establishment is failing our kids.
Yeah. And I want to point out to people, I don't believe that the schools are failing. I don't believe there's anything wrong with the schools. They're doing the job that they were meant to do.
Yes.
We just don't like the job that they're doing.
Yes.
So let's get off of this, oh, we have to fix our schools mantra, because you can't fix something that's not broken. It's doing what it's designed to do. It's designed to intimidate children, to make them compliant, so they are good worker bees. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to make them conform through intimidation. And that's why I call them child abuse. It's designed to shut down their learning. Our schools are the opposite of education. They teach the child, don't ask, sit in your chair, be quiet. If you have a question, you need permission you have to get permission before somebody's going to address you. You have to raise your hand. That's a barrier to entry. So don't ask. Don't try because failure's bad. Don't think, just regurgitate for the exam what the teacher taught you and don't read because the teacher read the book. There's no reason for you to read it. All you need to know is, will this be on the test? And that's the number one question that's asked in school today. So schools don't educate. And they basically never did, which is hard. It's hard to say that to people who think that they've been educated. I used to think that I was educated. And then I started reading the material that I was putting in front of my children, going, why didn't I ever get this in school? Why didn't I learn about the history of the United States in school? Why didn't we learn how to pay our taxes in school? For crying out loud, the government was training us, but not to be taxpayers. Like, that's just weird. That's just bad pedagogy. And so I'm done with it. And I did this with my three kids. I homeschooled them all. It was not nearly as hard as people think. They used to, like, they would go, oh, bless you. You know, you really took on. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm lazy. I didn't want to make lunch for them. I didn't want to sit in the drop-off line. I didn't want to sit in the pickup line. I didn't want to have meetings with the teacher. My parent-teacher meetings were in the mirror. I didn't even have to change out of my pajamas to have them. Like, I'm lazy. I'm the lazy one. And my kids are great learners. They're super engaged because they had freedom while they were growing up. And that's the difference. When you institutionalize a child, you are locking him down. It's the worst thing you can do for young boys. And you can't do much worse for young girls either, but definitely for young boys. I don't recommend it. We need strong young men. We can't be training our young men to be girls.
If folks are interested, again, the book is called Parents' Guide to Homeschool, Making Education Easy and Fun. It's a workbook, basically, for every parent. If folks are interested, if they want to look at it, if they want to check out a copy, they can get it at sorbostudios.com. And, of course, again, they can find you on X at the Sam Sorbo. And again, coming up next Thursday, you'll be speaking to the Sedgwick County Republican Party via Zoom. But those are the best ways to connect with you as well, correct, on sorbostudios.com?
Sorbostudios.com, and people can sign up for our newsletter. It's free, and it's just the best way that we have to stay in touch with people because there's no telling what social media is going to do next. Frankly, I think Musk just sold Twitter X, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with that now. But I'm excited to address your group. I can't wait to talk about school choice, which is a Trojan horse. I can't believe so many conservatives are jumping on the school choice bandwagon. Since when is socialism a conservative value? I don't know. But I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Sam, I appreciate you again. Thank you for joining us. Say hello to your husband. He was a great guest to have on the show. Thank you again for joining us, and carry on the fight, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Wow, she was a great interview. I absolutely love having her on the show. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Is this mama's don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys?
It is. Is that a stretch?
No, hey, it's Mother's Day. That's good. That should have been what we used for Jason. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Okay, wait for it.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Yeehaw! or don't let them grow up to be cowboy fans. Remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. That was good, actually. I know, but Mother's Day, when I threw that at you, it was a toughie. It was a screwball, and you've handled it very well tonight, Phil. So, with us now is Kim Gish, the vice chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party, to kind of tell us, appropriate since we just had the conversation with Sam Sorbo about this week's Sedgwick County Republican Party meeting. It's the monthly meeting, the May meeting of the Sedgwick County GOP. Kim, thanks for joining us.
It's very nice to meet you and to be able to talk to you tonight, John.
So you've got we're doing last month, you had General Michael Flynn via Zoom, and this Thursday, Sam Sorbo via Zoom, correct?
I love all these people that we're bringing up, even if it's through Zoom. I think it's a fantastic way to be able to reach out to our conservatives that are here in Wichita with some fantastic speakers also.
Well, and you guys had a huge crowd last month for General Flynn. I mean, there was well over 100 people. I think this time will be as well with Sam Sorbo. And the next month in June, we've got, I know you guys have Todd Starnes, who will actually be at the meeting in person, right?
He will be. He will be there. He's going to be doing a book tour. So what a fantastic way to be able to help him with that. And then I believe we're going to be having our state convention that same weekend also. So just a great way to wrap everything up in 1 week.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of, I mean, you can come Thursday night to Sedgwick County GOP, see Todd Starnes, and then go up to Topeka on Friday. So it's just a great, that's in June. This meeting is coming up on this coming up Thursday night, and that's the 15th, and that's at the Wichita Area Builders Association. The doors are at 6:30. Meeting starts at 7, but you guys are encouraging folks to get there early because, you know, since it's Zoom, you want everybody in place, right?
That's correct. Correct. If we're going to be able to do this right, we need to start on time, especially with Sam. And just to have as many people to come to help support each other and to help us to support our cause of conservative Republicans in Wichita.
And I know you guys have also been right now, I mean, the filing deadline for local elections is it's like less than a month away at this point. So if folks are thinking about running for school board or city council, something like that, and, you know, Goddard, Derby, Mays, Wichita, a lot of school boards. Well, Wichita, I think we've got three good candidates, but there's more.
We do.
But, you know, certainly these rural areas, city council races, if people are interested, now's the time to reach out to the party, right?
100%, 100%, and especially, you know, we used to not look at school board as important, and boy, is it nowadays that we get great school board members on there with like mind Republicans, so that our education can only get better, also.
And if folks are interested, it's Sedgwick.GOP. And one of the other things I know that you guys have been working is the Republican Men's Leadership Series. That's if the, you know, Republican men who are wanting to get volunteered, want to run for office, want to get engaged. That's starting in June as well, correct?
Correct. And then also don't forget about the ladies, and we have the
Eisenhower
Republican
Series.
Women's United also.
Yep.
And the Eisenhower Series also. So just many, many different ways for you to get involved. And you don't have to pick all of them, but if you could pick one of them just to be involved, it's just only going to make our Sedgwick County better.
And that's at Sedgwick.GOP. They can find a calendar of events there. They can find links to all these organizations, the Wichita Pachyderm Club, Derby Republican Women, the Sedgwick County Black Republicans, all the, you know, Kansas Rifle Association, all the different organizations that help support our, you know, lots of causes. There's just a ton of links and information at Sedgwick.GOP. And lastly, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. So
thank you so much, John.
I appreciate you, Kim. Thank you again, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then Scott Powell, senior fellow at the Center on Wealth and Poverty, will explain why he says judges should stay in their lane of upholding and resolving the law, not legislating or interfering with the executive branch of government, which they've been doing a heck of a lot of lately. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Well, I did say Mother's Day, so it does have Mama in it, so it's a stretch, Phil, but I'll give it to you. It fits the criteria. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. It's a stretch. It's a stretch. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, who would have thought that the constitutional crisis and breakdown in America would come from the folks in the black robes? Most believe judges should stay in their lane, upholding and resolving the law, not legislating or interfering with the executive branch of government. But lately, that's not the way the case is working. With us now is Scott Powell. He is a senior fellow at the Center on Wealth and Poverty. Scott, thank you for joining us. Unless you identify as a birthing person, I will not wish you a happy Mother's Day, but appreciate you joining us, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to be with you and your audience.
Scott, there was consensus when the Constitution was drafted that the judiciary would be the weakest of the three branches, co-equal, but, you know, that was kind of a good reason. I mean, they're the arbiters, for lack of a better word. But now you've got these federal district courts issuing these nationwide orders restricting the president. Are these even constitutional? Do they have that kind of broad authority?
I don't believe that they do, and particularly on national security issues. The reason that the founders gave so much power to the executive with regard to national security matters is because so often developments happen. National security is, first of all, a paramount concern,
right?
Keeping American people safe. There's nothing more important for government to do than that. And it is the chief executive who makes those decisions. Sometimes it requires military action immediately in the case of, an enemy that might be about to attack us. So this, you know, this power is constitutional. The power of the executive to be, proactive and not to have to answer to the other branches of government with regard to emergency situations involving national security. And one can argue that we're in an emergency situation. We have, you know, we have a combination of gangsters, gang members, Hezbollah terrorists from Venezuela are in the country. We know that we had about between 10 and 15,000 Chinese of military age that came into our country over the southern border. So we have a lot of different elements in our country that we need, that are a national security risk. And we can't give them due process. What they have no, they're not citizens. They came into the country illegally. So we shouldn't have to be dealing with due process. And of course, we have judges now that are, they not only have Trump derangement syndrome, but they really, it's questionable that they really are true patriots that are making decisions for the good of the American people. It almost seems as though they want Trump to fail and they want America to fail in some cases.
No, that's a good way of putting it. And, you know, you look at these illegals that are demanding, you know, that they respect the law. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, you didn't respect the law. You came here illegally. Your very first act was a disrespect for our laws by virtue of the fact that you're here. We've got this case recently with the young girl. I don't know what she is, 16, 17, 18, something like that. You know, driving without a driver's license. She was violating other traffic laws and she's here illegally. And the left is just, oh, how dare they? She's a cute little girl and we're going to deport her. And I'm sitting here thinking that she was multiple laws that she broke, including being here illegally. And we're supposed to feel sorry for her. And you see these judges issuing these injunctions and nationwide orders. To put it into context, in the last 15 years, judges issued 12 injunctions against Obama during the 8 years of his two terms. Biden was issued injunctions 28 times during his 4 years. In Trump's first four-year term, combined with the first 3 months or so of this term, judges nationwide have issued injunctions against him 84 times. Now, either Donald Trump is just recklessly lawless, or these judges have it out for him. And I can't see, I'm not seeing him doing anything that's just blatantly unconstitutional. I think it's, you're right. I think they've got derangement syndrome and they just are trying to thwart him.
And I think it's come to a point where Americans are recognizing that there are people in government, certainly in Congress, Senate, there can be judges who are installed by Soros and others that are, you know, that are not, these are radicals.
Yes.
That really want to take America down. I mean, we actually have enemies operating that are citizens, and that's why everyone that serves in office, that takes the oath of office, they pledge to to defend the country against enemies, foreign and domestic. In other words, the founders were very familiar with the idea that there can be enemies that get into the country or that rise up that may have a changed loyalty because of compromise of some kind. So, this makes it very difficult to navigate. But I think we just have to use common sense. And I think that on national security, we have to give the prerogative to the President of the United States.
We're talking with Scott Powell, senior fellow at the Center on Wealth and Poverty. You know, you talk about that last part there. And when you look at how the founding fathers envisioned it, the idea that judiciary is somehow superior to the executive, or for that matter, the executive branch, or excuse me, the legislative branch, because I think I watched some of the confirmation hearings under Biden when he was appointing some of these leftist judges. And I remember watching Senator Kennedy and some of the others in these hearings, and these nominees that Biden was putting forward, when Kamala Harris would then have to go in and be the deciding vote to get these people appointed. And I think you saw this coming, because some of these Biden nominees in particular, and he was just stacking the court towards the end, were so far left and so crazy. These were real far left activist judges, and there was nothing the Republicans could do to stop it, or wouldn't do to stop it. How do we prevent this? Is there anything we can do about this going forward, Scott? Or is this just, you know, hey, we got to now turn around and Republicans have to stack the courts to counter it?
Well, I think we're going to see some, there's going to be a lot that's going to be disclosed this year. You know, we've all heard about the Epstein files and so forth and so on. And that's it's important that people go to jail, you know, who violated the law, violated, you know, felony type crimes need to be prosecuted and people need to go to jail. We need to we need to use the deterrent power of law enforcement to prevent others, to discourage others from, you know, breaking the law in the same way. But I do think that one of the biggest laws that was broken has been in 2020, 2022, and even in 2024. It is something that people don't want to talk about. They want to deny that it happened. But there has been vote fraud every the last three elections. And in 2020, it was, you know, it was perhaps the greatest vote fraud. And I think we now have evidence that's going to come forward that's going to show all, how the vote fraud was actually pulled off. And China played a very big role in the vote fraud that we went through.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me. And I think, you know, Joe Biden's auto pen was basically doing the job of the presidency, at least for the last 2 years. And now we're seeing the results of, you know, what they were able to pull off. And we are seeing it in all these appointments and then the actions of these judges. Sadly, what's going to have to happen is all these these rulings from these judges, they'll get appealed to the Supreme Court. Hopefully the Supreme Court does the right thing and overturns all this stuff. But that's a time consuming process.
It is. It is. Yeah.
And, you know, we could be 6, 9, 12 months before the court cases make their way up there. And in the meantime, heck, I mean, some of these orders, they're ordering them to return these immigrants to the country, repatriate them. They're ordering him to rehire people, telling him he can't fire people. I mean, it's who's got the power of the purse? They're undoing the legislature. They're undoing, you know, the president. Some guy in a black robe has this kind of power?
Well, you know, Alexander Hamilton, who was one of the, you know, one of the founders, he never, you know, he served under General Washington, you know, in the Revolutionary War, and he was a very wise man. And of course, he was very, you know, he was instrumental in organizing the financial side of our government. But he writes in the Federalist Papers. He was one of the three authors of the Federalist Papers, which are just a marvelous read, by the way. There's really no better work on understanding the Constitution than the Federalist Papers. You know, they were written in 1788, 89. And they're written for the purpose of explaining what the Constitution was so that the Constitution would be ratified. That was the purpose. And they wrote under pseudonyms. So we know it was Madison, Hamilton, and John Jay, but those names were not used when it was published. But in Federalist number 78, it explains that while the judiciary is tasked with interpreting laws and ensuring they align with the Constitution through judicial review, the judiciary should be the least dangerous branch, for it lacks the power of the sword of the military under the purview of the executive commander-in-chief. And it also lacks the power of the purse residing in the legislature. And Hamilton wrote that the judiciary may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment. And it must ultimately depend upon the aid of the executive arm for the efficacy of its judgments. And not only do we have, you know, what Hamilton wrote, but then we have an early president, Andrew Jackson, who basically flouted the Supreme Court on at least two occasions, where he said he said I'm ruling, I'm the executive. And in the case of, the case that was in Georgia, it was Worcester versus Georgia. And it's somewhat related to the rights of immigrants. Jackson disagreed with the Supreme Court and proceeded to act against the court's decision. And Jackson said at the time, quote, "John Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it." And of course, he
right, because they can't.
No, right.
Yeah.
So Jackson proceeded to order federal troops to evict Cherokee Indians on the basis that they had no sovereignty or rights to stay on their territory in Georgia. He did that. So it's a lot like the immigrant, you know, he was the president. Jackson took the initiative. And similarly, I think Trump can just stand his ground and he can take his case to the people.
Yeah.
The other thing that Hamilton stressed was he reminds us that judges ought to regulate their decision by fundamental laws as in the Constitution rather than by secondary laws. And that further, it's the he argues that the interest of the people is absolutely paramount, such that all three branches of government, not only the judiciary, but the legislative and the executive, should exercise their role and power to protect the interests of the people. So what can we say about the interests of the people? Donald Trump ran, starting in 2023 and throughout 2024, on a very strong platform to deport all the illegal aliens, all the illegal immigrants. He ran, you know, he made no,
right.
He didn't hide what his agenda was going to be. And you know what? People voted for that agenda.
Yep, exactly.
And in fact, the support for deporting illegals has actually increased since the November 5 election.
Yeah.
You know, we now the Reuters Ipsos poll, which took place in early, I think in January of this year, shows 66% of Americans favor deportation of illegal aliens. And it's been broken down by party affiliation, 93% of Republicans, 67% of independents, and 43% of Democrats favor deportation of all illegal aliens. So Trump was elected to do this job, and the court should support that. The no one should stand in the way of serving the people.
You're absolutely right, my friend. Scott, I appreciate you. If folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X at Scott_S_Powell, correct?
Well, I've got to check that out. But the easiest way to get to my work is really at the Discovery Institute, where I'm a senior fellow. So if you just Google Scott Powell, Discovery Institute. You'll go right to my homepage.
Perfect. I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for joining us again.
Okay, wonderful. Great.
We'll take a quick break. Want to hear from what you think. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Don't forget about Americans for Prosperity here, Kansas. And we'll be broadcasting live next Sunday from their headquarters down at Union Station. Come down, join us, sit in, watch. We'll get you on the air. You can have a conversation. Looking forward to that. You can find out more. We'll post some more information tomorrow on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And don't forget, we're now rebroadcasting the John Whitmer Show every Saturday from 1 to 3. So if you didn't catch us tonight, you'll be able to tune in next Saturday, and then, of course, next Sunday, live from Union Station downtown at AFP's headquarters. Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Good evening, John. Hey, your show has been wonderful. Loved your monologue.
Thank you.
The fascinating deal with the Highway Patrol thing. I love that. Also, hopefully everybody gets involved with that. And of course, the courts. I'm out here watering my tomato plants, and I was thinking about the Making America Great Again. We should probably get that Obergefell decision overturned, and I think that would help families to be, you know, life and family be the bedrock of our country with that Obergefell. You know, courts took that one all the way, and we need to overturn that one and get that thing going.
Yep.
But God bless you, John. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, my friend. Yes, that's the decision that issues of marriage licenses to say. I mean, it's, you know, that's a toughie. Well, I'm not. Whoo! Fortunately, I got 10 seconds, so I'll just take my exit that way, and that's the Obergefell decision. So, don't forget. Next Sunday, broadcasting live from AFP downtown In the meantime, carry on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.